The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker. Sponsored by Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Ultimate Air Show on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk, and we have such an exciting guest on today. Her name is Sherry Gore, and her book is Plain Choice. And, you know, I'm so excited about this because I love the Amish. Because I live in Amish country, and I've lived in Amish country forever. And the nice thing about Sherry Gore is that she was originally born in Dallas, Texas, and she was one of two children, and with, you know, laid-back parents whose home was a popular venue of social gatherings of music, drinks, and talking politics. And after her parents got divorced, much to Sherry's surprise, her dad remarried, and a few months later moved out of Orange County, California, out to Orange County, California. And at the tender age of 10, Sherry decided to join her dad and stepmom on the West Coast. And life felt normal again until her half-sister was born. It was then Sherry felt erased from her stepmom and dad's memory. Without attention at home, Sherry began spiraling into an acting out and becoming a prisoner of tragedies that threw her into an emotional tailspin too powerful to escape. And I kind of want you to tell the story because this is called The Plain Choice. And, you know, I think that you took the most beautiful path that you could have taken in, you know, later in your life. But I want to welcome you, Sherry. You're also a very, very talented chef and cook, and have your own book that you wrote, as well as your cookbooks. And
yes, well, thank you for that, Catherine, and I'm honored to be on your show, and I appreciate your interest in my life and that of the people who I decided to live among, and that is the Amish and Mennonites here in Sarasota, Florida. So thanks a lot for having me on.
No problem. Let me ask you, tell us your story. I mean, don't tell the whole book, but why did you decide to write a book about your life? Why?
Well, I hadn't made that decision on my own. Mm-hmm. I self-published a cookbook, and I only published 3,000 copies, and much to my surprise, one of those copies landed in the hands of National Geographic Channel, a researcher, and they just loved it. So I was given a little bit of publicity for my book on a documentary that I participated in with them. And so when people saw it, everybody wanted a copy. Well, I couldn't even afford to, you know, to print so many copies. It was just something, you know, that I had done on my own. So I thought, wow, if that many people want it, maybe I could have it traditionally published. So I got a literary agent, and she pitched the book and another cookbook that I had thought of, and we had lots of offers. There was a bidding war, but one of those offers was for two cookbooks and a memoir. And I said, well, I don't have one. And she said, well, they want you to write one, and this is what they would like it to be, and it's about the decision that you made to join the Amish community. So I didn't say yes right away. I knew I was going to have to bare my soul if, you know, in writing that, because it was a really hard, painful journey that I went through before making that decision. So it wasn't something that I took lightly, but after much prayer, I went ahead and consented, and we came to an agreement. And so that's the book that you have in your hands there, Catherine, The Plain Choice, published by Zondervan, and it just released this August.
I know, and it's so exciting. I read the book. I loved it.
Oh, Absolutely. It was a tough write. I'll tell you, I shed a lot of tears when writing that. There were some of those things that I really hadn't discussed, you know, since they happened. So there was a great amount of healing, though I didn't write the book for therapy. I learned a lot about myself while I was writing. So right. I think I'm in a much better place today even than what I was when I first started the book.
Right. You know, it's amazing because you did have a little taste of Amish life ahead of time, didn't you? If I remember correctly.
Yes, because I had moved to Florida, you know, when I was 23 years old, and that's depicted in the book as well. And while living in Sarasota, there are Amish and Mennonites here. Mm-hmm. Well, I really didn't even pay attention so much to them. I was young. I wasn't interested in other cultures as much as what I should have been at that age. But I do remember standing in the grocery store in line behind a Mennonite woman, and on the conveyor belt, she had a box of cake mix. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be making that from scratch. See, so that's one of those misconceptions that people right. commonly have. Oh, they're not allowed to do this, or they shouldn't be, you know, doing such and such. Mm-hmm. And each, you know, community is so different. The churches are different. And, of course, each individual person mm-hmm. has their own preferences as well.
And that's so what, you know,
that was my little taste of it, but I really didn't pay that much attention. Like, never occurred to me to wonder why are they wearing something on their head? Why are the dresses that way? Just mm-hmm. didn't even occur to me.
Well, you know, after growing up with Sisters of Charity and all the nuns, being a Catholic, right?
Okay.
I was so used to seeing it. And, you know, then living in near Pennsylvania Dutch country and growing up in the west side of Cincinnati, we're right on the borderline of Indiana. So mm-hmm. it's nothing for me to, and I absolutely adore the Amish in the way, everything that they do. I have to share this with you because it'll make you feel really, really good.
Okay.
A friend of mine, he has a B&B in Indiana, and I did a couple television shows with her. And the Amish built her kitchen. They built the house because
oh, wow.
it was a 100-year-old barn. You know, for horses in Indiana. And she wanted to keep that look. And what she did is they put all copper, I don't know if you know this or not, wait till you hear this,
yes,
in her kitchen, and her sink is copper.
Oh.
I'll have to send you
the thing, the kitchen that dreams are made of.
Yes, I know. And it was like, she's very self-sufficient herself.
Unverständlich. Wow.
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 And,
yeah.
But she's a farmer. She married a farmer and
yeah.
she does all of it. And it's so, I mean, the house is so cool from the outside of it. It looks like a barn and you walk in the front door and it's unbelievable.
Oh, and I'll bet it smells better too in her house.
Oh, I'll tell you what. She taught me how to actually butcher venison, deer.
Okay, that's something that I've done in the past. I didn't do the deed. We did the butchering part.
Yeah, I don't
before
do. Yeah,
wrapping it and putting it in the freezer.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And she actually, and I'm going to send you the DVDs of it or the links to it.
Okay,
and
I'll
never forget going up in the country where they actually hang the deer. You know, after they do that. And we processed it right there because you have to tenderize it and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes.
Well,
it's funny. We live in the city here in Sarasota,
uh-huh.
and something that our bishop, who was ordained just several years ago,
uh-huh.
he wanted to bring our church families, you know, even closer, and most all of them had grown up at one time as Old Order Amish, you know, from the north. So, you know, farms are very scarce here in the city, as are cows. So there is a family who has property out east, and mm-hmm. so now our church has a butchering twice a year. And it's something that all of the families participate in. So it doesn't, it not only provides, you know, food for the church, but it's a way for the families, you know, to work together and, you know, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody's included in that. You know, even the small children are there, you know, playing, while the parents
and
are working.
That was really something. The first time I used gloves, the second time I butchered, I didn't. And my hands were so cold and the smell.
Yeah, I wish the first time I did it, I wish I had a clothespin on my nose. I'll never forget that. But you learn how to deal with those things, you know, the more you
right,
do it.
Right. Well, let's go back to your book and let's talk about, you know, you actually, after you dealt with your father and your stepmother.
Yes.
Didn't you live on a beach for...
Well, yes, I did. And I'll tell you, when I was living at home, I really, to this day, I don't think my parents... Now, my dad's no longer living, but I don't think at the time that my parents even really understood how ignored my brother and I were. Mm-hmm. It was just something that was happening, and I didn't understand what was going on, so I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to talk about it or express, you know, my feelings, because I didn't know what it was. It wasn't until I grew up that I realized, you know, that there was really like two families going on under one roof. Like when we had our family photos taken, there was always two sets. One set was my two sisters, and the other set was my brother and I. Mm-hmm. And so the ones of my sisters were sent to my stepmom's family and my dad's, but then the ones of my brother and I were only sent to our mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And there wasn't a family photo of all four siblings taken until I was 20 years old, and that was something that I organized. You know, that the four of us would be in a photo together.
Let me ask,
as a child, I just didn't understand what was going on.
Let me ask you a question. When your parents, your mom is still alive, right?
Yes.
How does your mom, are you closer to your mom today?
No, I'm actually not. Not since I moved away. We never did forge a close relationship. We just never did at any time in my life.
How old is she?
She would be in her late 60s.
I wonder, you know, it's in especially since you changed your lifestyle.
Yes.
Do you think that had a lot to do with it?
No, this is something that had just been this way since I was, you know, very small, which is what made it easy to go live with my dad and my stepmom.
Right.
Because actually my brother had gone out to Orange County ahead of time, you know, a couple years before I had. But I have one sister who's still living, mm-hmm. and I had another sister, April, who I was extremely close to. So there was never a relationship problem with my sisters growing up. My parents adored them, and so did my brother and I. They're terrible cute, you know, so we couldn't help it either. But you don't have to ignore, you know, other ones in the house to love, you know, just certain ones.
You're gorgeous, by the way. You are beautiful. Yeah. Just let you know that. I mean,
thank you. That was back in the 80s with my California tan and my big blonde
80s hair. No, I don't mean that.
I don't look like that anymore. I'm a grandma today.
No, listen, I'm
very happy with my life. And,
you're beautiful.
And I'm fine with the way I look.
You're gorgeous. And
I've learned that it's the inside that counts.
That's right. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. You are beautiful, yes. And it just reflects your beauty when you've got the most beautiful smile.
Well, that's the best accessory a woman can wear.
That's right.
So thank you for,
right. You're welcome.
For saying that, Catherine. I appreciate that.
No, and it's not the bleached hair. It's not any of that stuff, because I don't have those pictures in front of me. What I have is the picture of your book and what you look like. You know, and actually, I went through a divorce myself, and I had two little boys, and I met somebody in my life now 46 years later that adopted my boys, basically, and we had a little girl. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that, you know, the eyes are the windows to your soul, and you can see that you're a very, very happy woman. And on that note, we need to take a short break.
Okay.
And where can people buy your book, hon?
Well, this book is available wherever books are sold, including Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and ChristianBook.com.
Okay, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Sherry Gore and her new book, The Plain Choice.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Little children aren't the only ones afraid of the dark. Millions of soldiers return from war zones with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, anger, frustration, fear, and loneliness. Much of which surfaces during the darkness of night. You have the chance to change the lives of these American heroes. Songs and Stories for Soldiers was created to serve veterans who deal with the lack of sleep due to their injuries. Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us provides a free MP3 player for these men and women. With a list of 3 million songs in 16 different styles, 100,000 audiobooks, and 30,000 old-time radio programs, every veteran can find something to soothe and comfort them at no cost. All Our Players, contain an 8-hour audio program designed to help veterans fall asleep. With 1,500-plus vets now participating, it's our goal to deliver 10,000 audio players this year. To learn how you can help, go to our website at songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us. Help us to help a veteran make it through the night.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. My favorite tool in my kitchen and garage is the Bagwell Sealable Bag Holder. It's like having an extra set of hands to help you in the kitchen or the garage or anywhere. The Bagwell is quick and easy to use. Just pop it open, fold back a cup on the baggie, spread the cup over four sturdy arms, and you're ready to pour, fill, seal, and store with no spilling. It works great with snack foods, pasta dishes, anything that you have left over. It's dishwasher safe and folds flat for easy storage. Plus, it eliminates the clutter and stacks of tubs and lids in your cabinets and dishwasher. So, you can use it all over the house, anywhere you can use a baggie. Order a Bagwell for yourself, your friends, your family, for anyone who could use a helping hand. And guess what? They have a special at $6.99. Go to www.thebagwell.com.
The Brotherhood of the Written Isle, America Responds. This is the final installment of the Brotherhood Trilogy. Over the series, we have been attacked by terrorists using weapons of mass destruction, began to rebuild America from all the destruction, and in the last book, America Responds, the Pathfinders have been charged to find the Brotherhood. Just as they are ready to close in and capture the Brotherhood, the President tells them to stop and not capture, just follow. The President meets with special advisors to develop a plan of attack, not just on the Brotherhood, but terrorists worldwide. It's a risky plan, but one he hopes will work. We have to stop terrorism, or they will destroy the world as we know it. Will the President's plan work? Will the Pathfinders succeed? Will Ted and Hadar and Megan and Omid turn into real couples and have a life together? Will Frank and Karen return to Sanibel? All this and more in the final book of the Brotherhood Trilogy. Go to www.danperkins@sanibel.com to order.
Dan Perkins' new book, also available at Amazon.com. iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com, and they'll take care of it at no additional cost. Websites cost only $795, and hosting, which includes all maintenance of the website, is only $39.95 a month. iMarketing.com is also a Google-certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the Internet very quickly. iMarketing.com works with Google daily to create campaigns and to optimize them. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
Hello, Cincinnati. This is Rick and Noel of Ultimate Air Shuttle. We are excited to announce on October 26, Ultimate Air will begin flights to Cleveland from Lunkin Airport for only $379 round trip.
And to kick off our newest destination, we are offering a buy one, get one free to Cleveland now through the end of 2015.
Now you can experience VIP jet travel to New York City, Charlotte, Chicago, and Cleveland. Book today at ultimateairshuttle.com.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Charters, LLC, as director of carrier.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Katherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Sherry Gore. And prior to the break, you know, we were talking about the beginning of her life and where she was as a child, and then her program, not program, but her disenchantment with the family. I think it had a lot to do with when your sister was born. Is that correct? Your stepmother had a child.
Yes, two, my sisters, yes.
Right, and it being a child, a stepchild, sometimes can be rough, to say the least.
Yes, and it doesn't always have to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's true, too. And I think a large part of it, and this is something that I discovered when I was writing the book, there had always been a deficit in the relationship that I had with my father, and I didn't realize exactly what it was until I was writing about it. I had been sexually abused at a very young age by a family member who had been temporarily staying in our home.
Mm.
And, of course, it's not something, no matter how young you are, you never can forget something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always there in my head. And then the same thing happened to my sisters. And I actually only wrote about the one of them that happened to, because I wanted to give the other one privacy, because she's still living, and it's her story to tell, not mine. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about it for the very first time. She is in her, she's almost 40. We just talked about it for the very first time a few months ago, from all these years, from all the way back when she was 6 years old, because it had happened to my sisters from someone else not related to our family. And what I realized was missing that component in the relationship with my father is my father, while I never blamed my parents for that thing that happened, because a parent can't be everywhere every second. But what my father failed to do was he did not stand up for my honor. Nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever said, talked about, not with me, and not again when it happened to my sisters. And that's what was missing. So I didn't know for all those years, was it my fault? So since I didn't have anyone to talk about it, you know, to talk about it with, I just assumed that it was my fault, and that's where my worst lied, was that I was just worthless. That's all I was good for. So that was how I viewed myself. And so I was able later in life, when I became a Christian finally at the age of 31, to forgive my father, because I realized that my earthly father didn't have to be perfect, because my heavenly father is. Mm-hmm. And so it was through that, through my conversion, you know, to Christianity, only that was the way that I was able to forgive my father. Mm-hmm. And so letting go of that was so freeing, and I want that for my sister as well, and I hope that she finds that in her future. But now she knows that I'm here to talk to, you know, whenever she's ready to talk about it some more.
And so it's difficult to talk about. It really
is.
And
it's
you're
really painful.
How old are you now? Do you mind me asking?
I just celebrated, and I mean celebrated, my 50th birthday this year.
Okay. That's why I'm
asking. It's not a terrible thing to be 50.
No, I'm 71. I'm 71 in a very youthful, happy 71. It's age does not matter, actually.
Yes. I'm a grandma. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson,
aww,
and he makes me very happy.
Aww.
So if this is 50, you know, it's okay with me.
Yeah, that's the same thing. 70 is the young 50 today, and
yes,
50
is,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing. The thing is that, you know, it's important to understand, and I think you do, that back then, even back when you were young, it was not, people didn't talk the way they do today openly. And
you're right about that, Catherine. Absolutely.
And to go to a psychologist or somebody to talk about it, I mean, there were so many people that were abused over the years, and nobody could talk about it.
Right.
And
I remember being driven home by a school nurse one time in the sixth grade. And she drove me home because nobody would come and get me when I was at school. And I remember her saying in the car ride home, somebody should call social services. This is not right. This should not be happening. And, of course, today she would be obligated to make a call.
That's right.
You know, if she felt that a child was being neglected, you know, in some way.
Right, right.
So, yeah, you're right that back then they just didn't. And I think that was the reason why my parents, you know, just wanted to keep it hidden. They didn't want anybody knowing about it, and also for the shame that it would bring to the family.
That's right.
You know,
that's
appearances
right.
can be everything to some people.
Yeah, and it's very, very hard for children, even today.
Yes.
It can happen to anybody and anywhere, anytime, your relatives, your friends.
Exactly.
And they may not be talking about it.
That's why I wanted to mention, you know, that's why I had said that a parent can't be everywhere every second.
Uh-huh.
You know, this relative, which, of course, was someone that my parents trusted, you know, was babysitting.
Oh, my God.
You can't be latched to your children 24/7. You have to trust. You know, and as Christians, too, we're supposed to be trusting people. We're not supposed to be suspicious, you know, and there's a difference between being neglectful and, you know, being cautious, you know. So my parents had no reason to question those who had abused both myself and my sisters, you know, where they had, you know, had run into their problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, after you became after the 6 months living on the beach, tell me how that was. Do you mind sharing that?
It was quite terrible, and it was something that my children knew I had experienced, but I never went into depth. I never told them about the alter ego that I created for myself, you know, to toughen myself up so I could survive on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things happened. There's some things that were not, you know, proper to write about. It would have been too graphic. But I think you can just well imagine some of those things. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't gloss my writing one bit. So when a 17-year-old girl is out with no companion, no chaperone, no supervision, there's a lot of ways that a young girl can be taken advantage of.
That's right.
And it did happen many, many times.
Right.
And it was very painful. And so I had to be tough to survive, because I had no skills, no life skills of how do you, I had no street smarts.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised, you know, in a very wealthy home in Orange County, California. And the next thing I know, with no notice, you know, just one night, you know, my parents had enough of my behavior and said, you can no longer live here. I'll buy you a plane ticket anywhere in the country you want to go. Where would you like? And so I picked Florida. So I landed in Florida on a plane, and I stayed with my mom for a very short time, but not having the kind of relationship that was necessary, it didn't suit for me to stay with her. And so not long after that, just a little over a month later, I found myself living on the beach. So I tried to stay awake as much as I could on a bus bench, and I often slept under the lifeguard station, you know, in the shade on the sand right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gulfport today is not the same Gulfport that it was way back when I was living there. It was kind of for lack of a better term, I would say it was a seedy, you know, town.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's not. Today it's a very artistic community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the greatest places, you know, that Florida can boast about, you know, their towns. But
mm-hmm.
back then it just wasn't like that. And there was danger everywhere I looked. But mm-hmm. I didn't quite know how to avoid it. And so I was willing to get in a car with anybody, anytime, going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to not have to be right there on that corner, on that bench.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you met,
yes.
When did you meet your first husband?
I was 23 years old, and I had, this is kind of amazing, it was not an honorable thing, but I had actually joined the Army when I was back in California, and I had several months to wait before I was to report to boot camp. So I wanted to come to Florida. I wanted to visit some of my cousins that I was very close to before leaving, and I happened to have met him just shortly before I was to have reported for boot camp, and I ended up not going. And for years, I thought I was in trouble with the government, that I was AWOL, and I found out that that wasn't so. You have to be sworn in twice, and I had actually only done that one time when I was in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I had joined, it wasn't for the honorable reason that most people do today to defend their country, which I have great respect for. It was because it was running away. It was another, just another avenue for me to go down of running away. It was another road that I saw that would take me anywhere but where I was. So then when I met him, the person who became my husband then, Darren, I didn't go to the Army, and I ended up getting, we were married within just a couple months later, literally. I think five months later, we were married.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go? We won't go into depth, but how did that go?
It didn't. a marriage certificate is not a license of ownership,
mm-hmm.
and I learned that quickly the day after we said I do.
Mm.
So we were married just long enough to conceive two children, and then I left.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a situation that was safe for me or for my
kids,
my 9-month-old baby, which was my daughter Jacinda, or the baby that I was carrying. I was expecting, you know, my second,
mm-hmm.
Who is my daughter Shannon today, and she's 24.
Wow.
So it just wasn't a good situation. It was one that I needed to get away from.
Right. So where did you go after you left him?
I ended up working for my parents for a time.
in California?
They had actually moved to Florida by then, and things were a lot better. Once I had my children, my relationship was somewhat better with both my dad and my stepmom. And then, sadly, when I was 30, my dad, who was very young and active, he was 53, he was scuba diving out on the key. It happened to be Mother's Day, and he was with my stepmom, and he had a sudden death heart attack while he was spearfishing. Mm-hmm. And he died instantly.
That
really put me in a tailspin. Mm-hmm. I didn't know which way was up, because I had always thought in my head, and I was so wrong, that when my parents die, this pain that I have from our poor relationship, the pain will disappear. But I couldn't have been any more mistaken, because actually the pain increased, mm-hmm. because not only did my father die, but so too did the hope that I had for reconciliation of our relationship, to make it whole. Mm-hmm. We never did have that talk. I just mm-hmm. wanted to hear from him. I knew he loved me, but really what I wanted to hear was that things that happened to me when I was very young weren't my fault, and that I had worse, and that I was better than that, and that I should expect better of myself.
And on that note, we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Sherry Gore, and the author of The Plain Choice.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Our new sponsor is Celestial Cruises, and they invite you to enjoy the real Greek experience sailing to some of the most popular picture postcard destinations in the Mediterranean, as well as the off-beaten-path villages and islands throughout Greece and Turkey, breathtaking gems of the region. Sailing with Celestial Cruises is truly an unforgettable and authentically rich Greek experience, and it awaits you and your family. They're intimate, small to mid-sized cruise vessels visiting ports that are not accessible to other big cruise lines. They have 64 themed cruises, showcasing the region's archaeology, culture, and heritage. For more information or to book your cruise, contact 877-337-4665 or go to their website at www.celestialcruises.com.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker. Let's face it, there are literally hundreds of multivitamin, multinutrition, and energy products on the market. Each claim to have dramatic results. Most have proprietary ingredients that say deliver the vitamins and nutrition the fastest, the purest, and the best for your body. We've heard it all before until it becomes rhetoric. But I found a product that is liquid and simple to take, and I love it. The important thing is when choosing a nutritional product is that it works for you. ProtoVite delivers 100% of 15 essential vitamins and minerals with each dose. This multivitamin mineral complex feeds into your bloodstream because of the miraculous way they've developed to transport it into your body. In the past few years, I've taken every product out there. It's always given me an aftertaste. With ProtoVite, it has been quite different. No aftertaste and easy to take, no matter day or night. With ProtoVite, I'm sleeping better at night and I feel great during the day. I want to personally thank the company for creating a product that I can take every day and feel my best. If you're tired of the rhetoric that nutrition companies say, then try one that customers like me say works. ProtoVite, it works. Check us out at www.vniinc.com.
I'm Dr. Mark Mandel Brown. If you're interested in facial rejuvenation, breast augmentation, or a mommy makeover to restore your figure, we're known for natural look cosmetic surgery. Our highly skilled staff perform permanent makeup, facial analysis and skincare, and the non-surgical Venus Legacy to melt fat and tighten skin. Who says you can't have it all?
Mandel Brown Plastic Surgery Center. Who says you can't have it all?
Hello, Cincinnati. This is Rick and Noel of Ultimate Air Shuttle. We are excited to announce on October 26, Ultimate Air will begin flights to Cleveland from Lunkin Airport for only $379 round trip.
And to kick off our newest destination, we are offering a buy one, get one free to Cleveland now through the end of 2015.
Now you can experience VIP jet travel to New York City, Charlotte, Chicago, and Cleveland. Book today at ultimateairshuttle.com.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Charters, LLC. As director of carry.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker, and we're back now with Sherry Gore. And the story of her memoir, The Plain Choice. And I have to ask you this. You then married a second time.
Yes,
and,
I did.
That was a good marriage, right?
Yes, it was. Yes.
And then is when you found your Christianity. Am I correct?
Yes. That was when I was 31 years old.
And
I had a son. We had a son together, and he's almost, next month he'll be 20.
Oh, wow. So,
unfortunately, my second husband, he had some of his own demons, you know, that he was fighting.
Right.
And so he went one way and I went the other. And we ultimately ended up separating during the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this was actually, it was a few years after I had become a Christian. And I didn't leave him by any means because he was not a believer. That's just not how it happened.
And you're still friends, aren't you?
He had some things that he needed to work on his own and just felt that I could do better on my own raising the children. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And we're extremely good friends today. I talk to him often. Mm-hmm. And he's probably my biggest fan with my work today, you know, as an author. So really appreciate him being in my life.
Yeah, and there's some people that do come into your life and God brings it into your life. And I'm going to say something to you that, you know, God is looking at you and working with you right now, Sherry. And, you know, there's always a way that you can talk to your dad in heaven and your biological father. And, you know, you never know what God is actually giving you the power to do. And he actually may be talking to you in different ways that you don't know. And I mean, when I lost my dad, my mom and dad had a very difficult relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm the oldest of seven children. And it was rough, okay? But I love my brothers and sisters. I loved my parents, even though at times they were divorced, remarried. It was really sometimes a mess. They were like oil and water, okay?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I do understand this. And, you know, my dad gives me messages from heaven all the time. And so I think sometimes we have to really listen. He was probably trying to tell you something through what you're going through right now.
And actually today, even I'm going through the most painful experience that I've ever had in my whole life. My older daughter, Jacinda, she passed away 8 months ago.
I'm so sorry.
She had a double whammy of an extremely rare blood disease that she fought valiantly since the age of 10. Mm-hmm. And ultimately she had brain cancer. And passed away on February 6th of this year, and I had put my work aside for quite a while. Uh-huh. 2 years ago, I was hosting a podcast show weekly, and I was editor-in-chief of Cooking and Such magazine, and I was taking care of everything with Jacinda medical-wise. You know, I was her caregiver 24/7, and I had my books with HarperCollins, and I was able to do those things, but then she really went downhill, and she ended up on life support 2 years ago. And so after that, I wanted to spend much more of my, I wanted to give her more of me emotionally. Now, I was always there doing my work, you know, in the same room with her, but I was still a little bit absent because I was on my computer, you know, doing things. So I just wanted to devote more of me in every way that I possibly could to her. And you can never get a day back, and I have no regrets. So to this day, I don't have those things going on anymore, and I'm okay with that because, well, I don't have her. I have the memories of each one of those moments that I spent with her, you know, in the last part of her life, and just witnessing the battle that she was in, never complaining, such a sweet spirit. She never looked around and said, well, that's not fair. I don't get to do this or I can't do that. Instead, she looked back to people who had gone on to heaven before her, like Corrie Ten Boom and John Bunyan. As a matter of fact, I read something in one of her journal entries the other day that she can't wait. So when she gets to heaven, the first people that she would like to talk to are Corrie Ten Boom and John Bunyan. And she said, Brother John probably helped me more than any other person in my life. And look at how long ago that was. So rather than looking around and saying, oh, this isn't fair, she said, well, I can do this because they, all the way back then, look at what they had to go through, and they did it, and, mm-hmm. and they were faithful. So, too, she stayed faithful because mm-hmm. of people like them who had lived, you know, and suffered, you know, far worse than what she had.
Your next book's going to be about your daughter.
Can you repeat that again?
I said, God's telling me that your next book is going to be about your daughter.
It is. And I didn't anticipate writing another memoir. I said it several times.
I didn't even know that. It was so painful.
Right. But I got a review from Publishers Weekly that I never expected. Mm-hmm. And they ended it by saying that, you know, leaving readers eager for her next memoir. And I know how brutal Publishers Weekly can be. And I thought, next memoir? What memoir? I don't have one. And I felt God go, Sherry, I want you to write one. So,
So you're doing it.
So I am writing another book, and it actually picks off where the plane choice ended, which was about 5.5 years ago.
Right, and that's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Is that God told me, and you didn't even tell me that. So that's really wild.
No, I haven't made that known publicly that I'm writing that. I'm working to put hers together. My literary agent had asked, not knowing that Jacinda had already started one. She called me one day and said, I think if your daughter writes a memoir, I think there's a market for it, in, you know, for inspirational. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, she already started. And so through great trials, Jacinda was able to finish her memoir mm-hmm. Right about Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too long after that she lost out, you know, physically and otherwise, where mm-hmm. she wouldn't have been able, you know, to finish. So she did get that book finished. And so it's my job to pull it together, you know, with the proper steam so that it flows nice, mm-hmm. you know. So I would like her book out before mine. I believe that I owe that to Jacinda, mm-hmm. you know, to see that hers gets published as well. So that's where my head is right now. So.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, God gives us these messages all the time. And you becoming a Christian has changed a lot of that. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And you decided to become, you really went into this whole situation beautifully, I think. I don't want to give the whole book up because I want people to read it because, you know, I experienced everything that you went through in the book because I read every book that is sent to me usually. Mm-hmm. And I had just come from Amish country and had spent it. I actually went outside of Columbus, Ohio, where they have a huge community of Amish. And went to a beautiful, beautiful park, and it was just gorgeous. And then we went to an Amish restaurant, and the food was so absolutely delicious that I bought the first cookbook that I could find.
Oh, that's great. Did it have my name on it? I hope it did.
No, actually, Sherry, I didn't get your cookbook yet.
Okay. That's okay. My cookbooks are out there, too, on the shelves. The first one that was traditionally published is called Simply Delicious Amish Cooking. Uh-huh. And then the next one was my absolute favorite. I have 6 books out. But my number one favorite is called Me, Myself, and Pie.
I can't wait to do your pies.
Yes. You can't see. I've got goosebumps just from saying the word pie.
You're going to die when you hear this. It's really funny. I decided, because the days are getting really chilly here, okay, and we're really going into fall. We're getting our first frost this weekend. And the funny part about it is that in my head, I decided that I was going to make a chicken pot pie.
Oh, fabulous.
And so I was going to do it the other day and not do my own pie crust because, the thing is that I do make my own pie crust, but I just didn't have time. And I thought, I'm going to make this for dinner. So I'm going to make a chicken pot pie because I love chicken pot pie and my husband can't eat beef. And then I made I love to make oxtail soup and beef vegetable soup.
Okay.
At this time of year.
I'm a fan of one of those, at least.
Which one?
I would like the beef soup. I haven't had the oxtail.
Oxtail is really good, Sherry. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? I'll take your word for it, and I'll share mine with you.
Okay, that's good.
Meaning you can have my share.
Okay.
You know, and it's funny because I call myself a fearless foodie, but there are just a couple of things that I do tend to steer clear from. But if I were to eat supper at anyone else's house and it was served to me, I would eat it with a smile on my face. I would never, never want to dishonor.
Well, here's the thing, Sherry. I'm allergic to garlic. So when I work with chefs, I tell them, you know, I can eat onions, I can eat a lot of other things, but garlic, I lost my gallbladder and I can't digest it. And it's like having a baby for 3 days.
Oh.
And so if I'm going to go through that pain, so what I do on my cooking show is I say, well, here's the deal. I'm going to use garlic in this recipe, but I'm also making, you know, it without garlic because I can't taste it in front of you if I put garlic in it.
So my
audience already knows that.
Okay.
And we just painted the cabinets in our kitchen because that's where I televise my show. But when I'm on the road,
that's great.
When I'm on the road, I'll come to somebody else's kitchen. And have you ever heard of the food, and this is very German, Geta?
I have not heard that term before.
Okay.
No,
well,
not even with all the reading that I've done about Amish cooking. So I'll tell you, the number one thing that I had to do quick when I came to the Amish community, I had to better my cooking chops. I'll tell you what. There's great expectations for a woman's cooking in this community.
I can imagine.
So that's not something that I've heard of yet, but I can't wait to hear what it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay.
It's pinhead oatmeal, which is actually Scottish oats. It is
I know what those are.
Okay. It's pork, beef, and it's neck, pork and beef, real sweet meat.
Okay.
And it's made like a soup to start. Okay. And then you add the oats after you take and get all the meat like you're doing in soup. And then what you do is you shred the meat. You put it in with the boiling oats in the same water that you made the like a soup.
Yeah.
And it all becomes that. And then you put it in the refrigerator after it's all done. And it congeals. You put it in loaf pans and it congeals. And then you take it out the next day and you slice it and you fry it. It's a little like...
Oh, and then you fry it. Now
you fry it.
Now you caught me. That sounds great.
It is great. And it's very well known in this region.
Okay.
And but it's not scrapple. It's not like a Philadelphia scrapple.
I'm a big fan of scrapple. I'm not
you're
going to
love Geta.
But I just put that aside out of my head.
You're going to love Geta. And, you know, a lot of people, my mother used to make it. So it was a food stretcher during the war. That's how I learned how to make it.
Okay.
Believe it or
Thank
not.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been wonderful,
I
Catherine.
I am so excited to have you on. I want to have you on again. I want to do a cooking show with you, definitely. And I want to help you with your recipes to help you change them. How about that?
Let's do that.
Let's
Sounds
do
like
it.
A plan to me.
And where can people go and buy your Plain Choice, please, and your other cookbooks?
Okay. Well, my books, Simply Delicious Amish Cooking, Me, Myself, and Pie, The Plain Choice, and I just had a novel released this month that I co-authored with Tricia Goyer. It, too, is about pie. It's about an Amish mom and her 5 daughters who open a pie shop right here in the village where I live in Sarasota. And each one of these books is available wherever books are sold. You can find them at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, ChristianBooks.com, and Zondervan, who is my publisher, and HarperCollins as well.
And what's your website, honey?
My website is actually under construction right now. It's SherryGore.com. We put it under construction because my career has taken a turn, down a different road than what it was several years ago. And so to reflect these changes, we were building a different one. There was nothing on there to depict that I've hosted the Today Show in my home or that National Geographic Channel came down and I worked with them. So we want to incorporate some of these things into my new website.
Right.
But you can find me on Facebook. I'm there all the time at Author Sherry Gore, and that's where I love to chat with my readers online.
All right, and thank you so much for joining us today on Catherine Rager's Let's Just Talk. Don't forget to go to our website at Let's Just Talk or letsjusttalkradio.com or catherineraker.com. And we'll see you next time on Catherine Rager's Let's Just Talk.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker, sponsored by Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Mandel Brown Surgery Center, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Ultimate Air Show on W4CY.